the Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the Social Studio.
Hello there, this is the weekly podcast from Radio Today. I'm Stuart Clarkson, in for Trevor Dan for a couple of weeks on the show. And there's only one talking point really this week that we could have covered, and it's Apple and its arrival in radio with a station called Beats One, part of Apple Music. In the show today, we're going to be hearing from Stephanie Hurst, the broadcaster, also from former programmer turned consultant Ewan McMorrow, and from Simon Cole, a legend of the UK radio industry, now running 7 Digital, which does streaming. We'll find out his thoughts on it a little bit later on. But first, in case you missed it, here's what Apple say they're going to do.
The first ever worldwide live radio station broadcast from 3 cities, a station that has only one master, music itself. We're at Apple to help artists' dreams be realized. So we built the station, and it's a music lover's dream. If you love great music without any restrictions, you're gonna love Apple Music's Beats One.
Live in over 100 countries, Beats One is anchored by Zane Lowe in LA.
Beats One, worldwide, always on.
Ebro Darden in New York.
New York City, worldwide, this is Beats One.
And me, Julie Adenuga, out of London. We cannot wait to play you guys the music we've got lined up.
When Apple first asked me to be involved in this, they told us to put the great music in front of the average. The unexpected, the undiscovered, the anticipated, the underrated. Their words, move the needle. And that's what we're doing. We have real music fans running this place. We have great music DJs and incredible artists who are in the studio right now building real radio shows that are going to blow your mind. At the only place that can pull off an imaginative idea as big as this, Apple. We're called Beats One. We're always on, playing the music that we love.
That's Zane Lowe. Ex-Radio 1, of course, now one of the big names at Beats 1 from Apple Music. Apple Music will cost you $9.99 a month, or $15 for a family subscription. At the Beats 1 station, free though, kind of a shop window, if you like, for the Apple Music streaming service. So what does UK Radio think? First, let's hear from Ewan McMorrow, former programmer at Bauer, and now working as a consultant.
Last year, the amount of music downloaded went down for the first time ever. That obviously rang alarm bells for Apple, who are dominant in the iTunes market. They don't have very much of the streaming market. So I think they decided that after the YouTubes and the Spotify's, and that's what's brought them to this. The difference they have done is hire some presenting talent in the form of Zane Lowe and a whole lot of folk that used to work at Radio 1. What they've done is bring in something that was quite niche on Radio 1. I know a lot of people listen to Zane. There was a reason he was on in the evenings and not on in the afternoons. So I don't think that UK radio needs to worry too much about what Apple are up to with Beats 1.
I mean, the Apple Music thing, I suppose they're lagging behind a bit in terms of what Spotify and Pandora and people like that have done. They're playing catch-up to some extent.
Yeah, they have done is a very Apple thing, which is try to make it different from what everyone else is doing. Zane Lowe will humanise the streaming propositions from Apple. Spotify are quite lacking in any sort of personality. They are what you make them, whereas Apple are trying to give them a little bit more of a personality. Slightly dangerous to radio. I think it's the ecosystem will be, you listen to Zane Lowe, he plays a new track you liked on this new social media platform that Apple have been developing for music, and then you listen to it on Apple Music streaming non-stop of playing your 10 quid a month. So really, they're not in the business of trying to get pure radio listeners to listen to them. It's about music fans and music consumption.
We're going to be talking to Stephanie Hurst in a minute, and one of the things that she's going to talk about is how some of UK radio has turned into kind of jukebox hit music radio, playing the same songs over and over again, and almost Apple is going to try and compete with some of that, perhaps. Who do you think is to blame for that? Are we just giving listeners what they want? Because Spotify was so successful, programmers have thought they want more music and just 10 seconds of a DJ telling them something in between.
I think it's much more complex than that. What I really think in radio in the UK at the moment is a real lack of confidence, which is started by Radio 1. Every public utterance at the moment is about how young people don't like radio, which I think is incredibly damn industry. And they seem to spend all the time wanting to be on YouTube or be on iPlayer or be on Instagram and very little time actually wanting to be on radio. I think that filters through to the rest of the radio industry. and you look at a commercial station where they're playing as few records as they can get away with as few presenters as they can get away with, saying as little as they can get away with, there's an absolute lack of confidence. Take some risks, do something that will attract some attention and will get the audience figures going back in the correct direction for these radio stations.
Is that the top end of the commercial groups that are to blame for that? I mean, you were a programmer at some big city stations. Could you have made those decisions to put personalities on? You know, if you were programming Radio Air, Chris Moyles is available, he's affordable within your budget, but he's only going to play three records an hour. That wouldn't really fit with what Bauer wanted for Radio Air. Could you have made that decision and done that? Or is it up above who's saying, no, this is the strategy for our group?
I've got to be honest, when I was at Radio Air, when I was at Bauer, I had a lot of say in the presenters I brought in. I had a lot of say in how they engaged with the audience. I think... and I'm not talking about Bauer specifically here, but I think a lot of that has changed, and that with what Global have done, the bigger stations, bigger groups of network program formats, and the easiest way to implement them across live stations with local breakfast and drive shows is to have quite a prescriptive format of you will talk here, because it's safe, it's controlled, but at the end of the day, it's not really giving the listener much satisfaction.
And do you think Apple doing what they're doing, mainly because of their marketing and the impact they've had on the splash of the announcement, do you think some commercial radio execs will think, actually, we need to do something different?
Sadly, no. I think that, you look at what KISS are doing, actually, and KISS are getting to that audience by just being relevant to that audience. I think if Beats 1 turns out to be a sort of worldwide KISS, then perhaps they're, a danger for the radio industry. And longer term, it is something they will either have to change to, die as you go up against. But at the moment, I think it's really going to be quite specialist, quite niche. My next door neighbour, when she's finished work, she gets in her car, she puts on Heart and she drives off an hour. I don't see at the moment her getting in her car, picking up her phone, finding the app for Apple Music, finding the Beats 1 channel, listening to Zane Lowe play new music that she hasn't really heard on her drive home. I don't see people quite making that change yet. Perhaps the challenge for radio is to be more engaging, be more innovative, be more creative when people actually get to that stage.
That's Ewan McMorrow. Time to talk to some talent now, find out what they think. Stephanie Hurst is with us. She is, of course, the former host of Hurst's Daily Dose on Capital for over 10 years. Lots of commercial stations before that as well.
Beats is a shop window to Apple Music, and it's a cool vehicle, but it's also going to shake up the world radio industry as well. So I think it's exciting. I think it's good. I'm looking forward to hearing it. They've hired some really cool, talented people. Let's see what they bring to the party. And hopefully it might just make us here in the UK go, do you know what? We should give a little bit more content-wise instead of just banging out the hits all the time.
I mean, we don't know much about the lineup yet. There's going to be Zane. There's a girl called Julie Adenuga who's done stuff on Rinse FM in London and some music television. There's also a guy called Ebro Darden, does a breakfast show on Hot 97 in New York. He's a hip-hop DJ. I mean, with Zane and Ebro at least, people with a lot of radio experience. Do we think there'll be other people they're going to hire?
Do you know, I don't know. They've clearly set their sights high, haven't they? So they're going to put some real talent. Are they going to just go for names? I believe they are. I think if you're dealing with a global radio station, they need to get some names, big names. They possibly will be music people, but they're going to need some broadcasters in there, some true broadcasters who know how the medium of radio works. But the thing is, with people who've never done radio before, I kind of quite like it a little bit, which, smacks in the face of everything I say, the fact that, all our broadcasters can't get work because people in the music and television field seem to be snapping up all our jobs. But I believe that when we have people who have not particularly done radio that much on the air, they're a little bit raw and they give a little bit more, don't they? They tend to be a little bit more, honest and not wrapped up in the world of radio, if that makes sense. So I kind of think it'll be quite exciting to hear what they have to say, if you know what I mean. They've not been radioed.
Yeah, but they're not going to be doing, weather and time checks and, out of the sun, are they? They're going to be selling the music and promoting it because the fundamental point of the station is Apple wants to sell its subscription
for its
music
service. Exactly. So it is it's there as a vehicle to be able to sell that subscription service.
One of the things you were talking about on Facebook in your kind of praise of what they're doing is the kind of range of music they're going to be playing. We don't know much about that other than they've said they're going to play great music. We know it's probably going to be new stuff.
There are two types of music, and there's good and bad, and I believe it doesn't matter which genre it comes from, who the artist is. If it's good, it's good. And if it deserves a play, I think Apple are going to play it. I'm really dead excited to hear what it's going to do. Our listeners to Capital and Case and other brands and local stations, is it going to affect those? I'm not so sure. Is it going to affect your Radio 1 listener? Yeah, they probably will give it a whirl. But, you know, you're talking on a worldwide scale here, aren't you? So you know, there's plenty of listeners to go around. From where I'm sitting, I just find it really exciting that someone's coming into the radio marketplace to give it a bit of a shake and to give it something that it's missing at the moment. And that, for me, is probably a bit more personality. I think we need to give a little bit more. I understand why we play the same songs. I get that. The fact that listeners listen on average for 15 to 20 minutes, and when they tune in, they want a burst of their most favourite songs of the moment. I get that. But you know what? The listeners have been saying for years, you play the same stuff. When will the industry listen and go, yeah, the listener might have a point? Every single person says to me that every radio station plays the same stuff all the time. So when will the industry start to listen? And then I've started to speak to people whilst I've been off for the past year about radio a little bit, playing the, I don't work in radio anymore, I'm just kind of interested to what you think. And I've found people have opened up a little bit more and saying, yeah, you know, they just play non-stop music now and there's no one talking. So we've gone from the research that we had years ago and the fact that the DJs talk too much. So I think that is where we've ended up today, where the research came in the 1990s, and the Australian consultants came over and we started to take these formats from the US, and we started just to play big, long sweeps of music. I remember being at Radio Air, and I started there as a helper when I was 12, so that's probably 1987. And I caught the back end of probably the glory days of independent local radio. But then by 1990, more music Air FM had started, and I remember all the DJs complaining that they were playing five songs in a row. So things really started to change in the early 90s, and we've just accelerated over the years. And what we've found now is the fact that music is on demand. You can get nonstop music wherever you want, but back in the 90s and the noughties, you really couldn't. So I think now it kind of needs to go full circle, and we need to give the audience a little bit more. We need to give them a bit more personality, something that they can really get their teeth into, instead of here's another great 15 songs in a row. Because whenever I tune in some stations, they just play music. So I go elsewhere because I need content. I need someone to talk to me. I can get music whenever I want it, wherever I want it. But can I get speech? No.
And Apple, you think, get content, don't they?
Yes,
they seem to
understand
what content's
about. They're content rich. Yes, they are content rich.
This radio station presumably is going to have artist interviews and those kind of things on.
Mm. And hopefully it'll be funny as well, because you can't just be all muse, though, can you? You need some humour in there. It's all about getting the balance right. And this is early days for Apple, but they are pulling the right people in to run this radio station. And, you know, a couple of my friends are there as well. So it's going to be interesting, because these people that I know, the two people I know that have gone to Apple and I've worked with really closely in the past, are bloody talented people. And they've worked firsthand with some real creative talent on the air. So it's going to be interesting to see what they bring to the party as well.
I think it's obviously going to be cool with people like Zane. Although, as I say, on genre, I think the quote from Apple this week was, it won't be based on research, genre or drum beats, only music that's great and feels great. For some people, that might be, as I tweeted tongue-in-cheek, so it's Kylie Ricastley in S Club 7 then. It's not going to be, is it?
No,
is great music to some people isn't great music to others. And if you don't like cool music, you won't like Beats 1. So maybe Beats 2? Playing the older stuff and introducing the people to the older music?
Exactly. They're clearly going to roll out an array of stations here, because Beats would be called Beats if there was no other stations and it was just going to be singular. But no, there's Beats 1. This is clearly going to be Beats 2, 3, 4, 5 or whatever. So that's going to be interesting. I just think it's really dead exciting. Anything new comes along, especially from an operator like Apple, is going to shake the radio world up a little bit. Will it be just a ripple? Or will it be a huge tidal wave that we get and people start in the radio industry in the UK start to go, do you know what, we need to give the audience a little bit more. If someone's going to hire me in the future to play five songs in a row, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to concentrate on my property stuff, which I do. I'm not going to sit in a studio bored while a computer's churning out the hits and I'm just looking down, I don't know, websites or forums or bloody Facebook or whatever, just to keep me entertained while the songs are playing. I need to engage with the audience. I need to get something going with them. I need to converse with them.
So Hurst is Vinyl Heaven coming soon to Beats 2. You take their money?
Well, do you know what? I wish. Yeah, I wish. Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it? sitting in Barnsley doing my show globally on Beats 2 or whatever. Yeah, that'd be wonderful. Have some of that. Come on. Do you get free iPhone upgrades?
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Yes, it is the weekly podcast from Radio Today. I'm Stuart Clarkson in for Trevor this week. We've heard from a programmer and a presenter. Time now to talk to a businessman, Simon Cole, CEO of 7 Digital. You'll probably know its production arms, Unique, Smooth Operations, but since the UBC merger with 7 Digital, it also focuses on music downloads, music streaming, all sorts of things like that. Simon, welcome to the Radio Today programme.
Thanks, Stuart. Nice to be here.
So Apple Music, interesting. Do you see this as a competitor to some of your business?
It's certainly not a competitor to our business. In fact, it's very much an encouragement for our business. I think we thought before Monday that it might be a competitor to some of our customers, but I don't actually think it's even a competitor to our customers now. I think the offer was relatively underwhelming. But what it does do is it validates entirely what we've been saying since we merged UBC and 7 Digital, which is that there is now no wafer-thin gap any longer between the worlds of online radio and streamed music. And what Apple have done is put them all together in one service. They've done that, as I say, in a relatively underwhelming way.
We normally see them innovating, but actually they're doing what other companies have already been doing for a good few years.
Well, there wasn't much innovation about Monday. You know, the massive innovation on Apple Mapping, which is that it does what Google Maps has done for the last 2 years, was matched by the massive innovation in the music service in that, you know, it's playing catch up with Pandora and many others. And in terms of launching a 24-hour global radio station with three presenters, I'm not sure quite what that's catching up with, but whatever it's catching up with, I don't think they want to be there. It was an odd set of announcements, and I had expected they would do a lot more, and I think the global radio industry probably breathed a sigh of relief. But what it should be saying to radio is, you know, Apple is making the point that listening to streamed radio and choosing your favorite music is part of the same activity and application. And customers of ours like Astro Media in Malaysia, who are already running radio apps which are far more sophisticated offerings than what Apple are talking about, have got it and would be smiling, you know, looking at Apple playing catch up with them. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for radio companies to be much, much better at doing what Apple are trying to do than Apple are being.
And I mean, yeah, how do we do that? What should the traditional radio companies be doing to prove that actually they can do everything Apple can do and more? Well, I guess it's about the unique selling points of their stations.
Yeah, and the unique selling points of any radio station are that it targets its area and the people who like the music it plays, you know, which is something Apple don't seem to be doing. Well, they're targeting an area of the globe. But in terms of music, who knows what they're targeting, but they've only got one station to do it with. So radio stations are great because they target a group of consumers. They get loyalty from those consumers. Those consumers look at them as curators. So they've got these massive trusted music brands, whether it's Six Music, Radio 2, Capital FM, you know, Piccadilly, et cetera, et cetera. What they can do is take those trusted brands and use them to take the listeners into worlds of music. So, you know, if I'm listening to a radio station, I shouldn't be closing that radio station app in order to listen to the music I've just been enjoying, but a few more tracks from the album of that artist in Spotify. I should be able to go straight from listening to the radio station to a service provided by that radio station that lets me listen to the music, that lets me curate a stream, that maybe has presenters from the radio station curating their own streams, all of that kind of stuff, all of the sort of stuff that Apple's talking about. But Apple has no trusted brand like a radio station. The stations have an opportunity, a window of opportunity to follow what Apple's trying to do. And I think if radio stations do that, there's absolutely no reason why they shouldn't, you know, command the audience.
I suppose Zane Lowe playing a bunch of records is great, and it's what he used to do on Radio 1, but it's about having good content around it, as we all know in radio. You're in the content business with the production arms of your company. What would your advice to Apple be if they want to win audience from traditional radio?
I'm amazed that they're going with this kind of weird global radio concept with a small g. Apologies to Ashley and Richard. You say Zane Lowe is going to play a bunch of records like he did on Radio 1, but is he? Because on Radio 1, he knew what his audience wanted. It was a UK audience. He could talk about gigs that were coming up in the UK. He could have, you know, studio interviews that related to people who the UK audience wanted to listen to. Who's he targeting now? Is he targeting the US, the UK, Australia? All these countries have different musical tastes. Just look at the lack of sharing between the UK charts and the US charts and the Australian charts. So what I'd expected to see, and what I think the opportunity would be to create some local content that's delivered, at least national, local. I mean, you know, your Apple ID knows where you are. So why would I not have a UK breakfast show on Apple Music? That would be relatively easy to do. Those are the kind of things that I'd sort of thought, stroke feared, feared from the radio industry's point of view, that one might see from Apple. But I haven't seen any of that. And I think, you know, the idea of three or four disc jockeys playing records on a global radio station where you can't even give a time check doesn't sound like radio to me.
There was some suggestion on an article I read online that it was a bit of a vanity project for Tim Cook, and he's just kind of, you know, trying to look trendy. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have a radio station, and it'll be like iTunes Ping, and it'll disappear. Do you think Beats One is here to stay with brand extensions to come?
I mean, you know, we've been negative and a little self-confident from a radio industry point of view for the last 5 minutes too. I think we should pause and say to ourselves two things. First of all, they called this Beats One, so that's interesting. Does that mean Beats 2, 3, 4, 5 are on the way, which would be a more interesting thing? Secondly, I wouldn't rule out localization, and thirdly, I would never bet against Apple. They can get something wrong once, they can get it wrong twice, but they can keep going at this until they get it right. They were responsible for the Newton, but then they were responsible for the iPad. So, you know, they're pretty good at learning how to get things right, having got them wrong. So I think if the radio industry feels a sigh of relief and feels a little self-confident after watching Monday's performance, the radio industry should perhaps say a window of opportunity has been created and the moment needs to be seized. What Apple have done is they've signposted the road ahead, which is a road where people have a service that entertains them, that is everything from a live stream where somebody is giving them entertainment on a plate curated for them, to a service where you choose your own music and you do your own curation. All of those choices can and should be made in one place. And Britain's biggest radio brands certainly have an enormous opportunity to be that place.
Yeah, I suppose the other positive is this is one of the richest companies in the world. And it says a lot that they want to do radio. They want to use the word radio because the word radio is still in there. That'll be the button you press on the Apple Music app. And they've hired talent from UK radio, both in terms of Zane and Julie, and some producers that they've taken from Radio 1.
Yeah, it's a massive piece of flattery to the radio industry, and specifically to the UK radio industry. And I mean, Zane, of course, is a New Zealander, but, you know, I think we can claim his radio heritage as the UK. Yeah, I mean, it's massively flattering from that point of view. But then the radio industry say, OK, so why is that flattering, and what should we do about it? What we should realise is that what Apple are saying is that a radio station and a radio station brand can be people's music destination, full stop, whether it's streamed music, downloaded music, curated playlists, whatever. Those radio brands have the opportunity to be that destination. And, you know, what we're seeing in our sales pipeline is a lot of radio companies around the world who want to build music services. And I think we'll see a lot more. And I think there's a very, very bright future for some of the world's biggest radio brands to get involved in streamed music. And I won't say, you know, Apple should be worried about that, because clearly they won't be. But if I looked at any big radio market around the world, whether it's London, Sydney, New York, if the big radio brands in those markets were running streamed music services, I'd bet on them rather than Apple in those markets.
And just finally, you said they're not a competitor. Obviously, through Unique and Smooth Ops, you make programmes for the BBC and commercial radio. Would you make programmes for Apple if they wanted content from you?
If Apple wanted to get content, yes, we'd be delighted to do that. And if I were Apple, I would be reaching out to independent production companies all over the world. But to do that, they'd need to be localizing the content a bit more than they are doing, I think. I mean, yes, we could make world programs for Apple. So could lots of other people. But I think where the real opportunity would be to get producers in countries to make programs that could go on Apple Music's radio service that were targeting specific countries. If they were to do that, then that would begin to become interesting and genuinely competitive to the other broadcast radio industries.
That's Simon Cole from 7Digital talking to me earlier for the Radio Today programme. Some interesting guests, I'm sure you'll agree. David Lloyd's Radio Moments for this week on the way very soon. First, let's get the news from Roy Martin.
Thank you, Stuart. It's been a big week for radio, as you've been hearing here in the UK and, of course, around the world. In the last 7 days, Global confirmed it's buying Juice FM in Liverpool from UTV, subject to permission from the authorities, of course. It could take months to actually happen, so watch this space for more details. But what does it mean for Juice? We asked former Radio City PD Ewan McMorrow what he thought of the deal.
I think in some ways City might be quite relieved that Global are coming in, a competitor they've dealt with in many other markets and one they know well. Juice really connected with a young, vibrant audience, really got under their skin, and that's what saw their audience double in the last 5 years, just that real connection with the Liverpool audience that, love them or love them, I don't think Capital will have.
And of course, on Monday, Apple announced it's launching its own radio station via Apple Music. The news confirmed exactly what Zane Lowe is doing for the company, which he left Radio 1 for, and moved to LA. Welcome, Beats 1. For more details on these stories and more, have a look at radiotoday.co.uk. That's the latest. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Radio Moment.
As the new parliamentary session begins, we watch and listen to proceedings. But despite the age of Parliament itself, the first ever broadcasts on a trial basis and on radio only at the outset were heard this week 40 years ago.
We won't, of course, be able to join them immediately because, first of all, we have prayers. That takes up normally 2 or 3 minutes, and prayers is a sacrosanct matter in which we're not allowed to join. We can merely wait for them all to finish, and after that, as soon as they have finished, our man Ed Boyle will be scrambling into the chamber and getting into a rather tiny cubicle that's in there. I now hear from our studio, we can go over to the Commons. So over to you, Ed Boyle, if you're there.
Yes, I'm here.
Mr. Patty.
Jeffrey
Would
Patty.
The Secretary of State not agree?
Happy birthday, Commons Broadcasting. It began this week in 75. Commentary was provided by BBC's political editor David Holmes and, as we heard, Edmund Boyle from Independent Radio News, and they shared that cramped, soundproof box inside the chamber. Bob Holness became a familiar TV name, but for 10 years until this week, 30 years ago, his voice ruled London, as together with Douglas Cameron, he woke up our capital city on LBC.
Independent Radio News at 7, Bob Holness. Leaders of the TUC and the CBI are meeting in London tonight, trying to reach an agreement on a wages policy.
Bob Holness, who ended his morning stints on LBC this week in 85. It's 11 years now since Kerrang! Launched in the West Midlands.
Okay, how about this? Kerrang! 105.2. Music and sh**.
Okay. A new radio station is coming.
It's been coming for weeks, you retards!
Kerrang! 105.2. What is Kerrang?
Maybe something to put your headphones in?
Some kind of... The launch of Kerrang 105.2 this week in 2004. There are some unlikely ideas for radio programmes, but maybe none quite so puzzling as one featuring a ventriloquist. Educating Archie was born 65 years ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're Educating Archie.
Once more, we join Archie Andrews and the long-suffering Peter Bruff.
Yeah, Bruff, you're living it up a bit, aren't you? Six suits?
Why, I ordered those before we went to Australia, my boy. That was 5 months ago.
Well, I hope they fit you.
Educating Archie, which began this week in 1950. From the press this week, 1965 this cutting, Mary Whitehouse is handing in a petition to the BBC regarding their propaganda of disbelief, doubt and dirt. It had over a third of a million signatures. It's 2 years now since we lost Rory Morrison, much-loved Radio 4 announcer and ex-traffic reporter on Beacon Radio.
Good morning, David, and hi to Ian as well. Yes, not too bad on the road. It's getting a little bit busy as you head down through towards Great Bridge, particularly on the A461. That's down through...
Boris Becker's revelations about his brief liaison in the cupboard of a London restaurant gets generous coverage in the tabloids and the broadsheets. The tennis star has given a no-holds-barred account of how he had sex with a Russian model after meeting her 5 minutes earlier.
Rory Morrison, who died this week in 2013. It's 49 years this week since Tony Blackburn arrived aboard the pirate Radio London.
That's the number called Hard Loving There. That's the favourite version. There are two versions in the climber list. I'll play the other version a bit later on. That's by Guy Dowell there, Hard Loving Radio London climber this particular week. And hey, everybody, it's shoe sale time at Revel from January the 3rd. Greatest range of season's best mod footwear in town. Big, big price reductions. Only shoes in perfect...
Tony Blackburn on board Radio London, which he joined this week in 1966, and that spell was to be the most important part of his grounding rather than the earlier spell at Caroline, a fact lost on most who interview him now. That same week, Kenny Everett returned to that same station after being sacked 7 months before. He'd taken exception to a sponsored religious segment in his programme.
So I used to think this was a huge interruption in my show. I didn't agree with what he said, because I'm quite an optimist, really. He was fire and brimstone all over the place. So I used to disagree with what he said and think, why me? Why has it been plonked in the middle of my show? Everybody's going to turn off because they don't want to hear depressing things.
Kenny Everett, who returned to Radio London after his first sacking this week in 1966. It's 30 years since the end of a tragedy at Trent. Rock show presenter Graham Neal had killed his girlfriend Lynn. Her new boyfriend had taken his life too. And this week in 85, the news came through of the final twist in this tragic tale.
The 11 o'clock news, Mike Blair reporting. It's been disclosed in the last few minutes that Radio Trent DJ Graham Neal, accused of murdering his former girlfriend, has killed himself in Lincoln Prison.
Trent's own news from this week in 1985, and for me being on that station at that time is, it's a period I'll never forget. It's already 2 years now since the official opening of New Broadcasting House.
I've been watching pictures of Her Majesty going around the building. She's been to the BBC's youth music station, Radio 1, where she heard a live music performance, and everybody in the building is taking photographs of her on their mobile phones. And now she is walking through that newsroom that you've been describing, and she's seeing some colleagues there.
Ma'am, this building is dedicated to public service broadcasting, a passion that unites every one of us here, and for the first time brings together the BBC's domestic and international radio, television and news services in this building in London. May I now ask you to declare it open?
It is a great pleasure to visit the BBC today and to see it in its new home. I remember first coming to Broadcasting House with my father, the King, and my mother and sister shortly before the war.
The official opening of New Broadcasting House this week in 2013. So, with the death of Jimmy Clitheroe 42 years ago...
Yes, the last Thursday before Christmas.
Liverpool's first radio station, 6LV, 91 years ago...
I must explain that the studio was situated over a cafe.
Smooth FM launching in London 10 years ago... And Virgin Radio sold to the Times of India without its name 7 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Roy, for the news and to all our guests this week talking about Beats 1 from Apple. And there's more at apple.com/UK/music if you want to find out more about what they're offering. And it all launches on the 30th of June. I'm sure there'll be a story on radiotoday.co.uk around about that time when we hear more about it. Thank you for listening this week. I've been Stuart Clarkson in for Trevor. I'll be along next week with something similar.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.